exactly what it's about.
How inflation ends and what happens after that, both in terms of high-dimensional geometry and its holographic description in terms of CFT glue ball. So there are three papers about this, and they are year-long, and they're too old for me. So if anyone wants to talk about holographic cosmology, yes. What I'm going to talk about is new stuff which we did recently and continue to work on this. And this is not holographic cosmology, just cosmology. Is it okay with you? I have another talk on holographic cosmology later. Either new stuff or old bitches before it. Anyway, clearly what I'm going to talk about. So I will talk about a new type of non-Gaussianity which was observed in a particular model. And by all means, I don't think this is the right model or whatever, but it's very neat stuff and very unexpected result. Non-Gaussianity is, you know, a very powerful tool to distinguish especially models. And this is what it is about. This work with Dick Bond, Andrei Frolov, and Jichi Huang, and it will be in the letter soon. Inflation, everyone knows this one, right? Calorie, health scheme, okay? Right? Rolling field. Fluctuation, everyone knows this one. How fluctuation is generated from the field, right? Organizers, health scheme, right? So everyone knows this one. There is inflation, small scale, quantum fluctuations get stretched because of the expansion. And the amplitude is generated, and random Gaussian field. At the end, this is end of inflation, this is a scalar factor. At the end of inflation, we have random Gaussian field of the gravitational potential, and it will disturb the photons at the moment of last scattering, and we'll get any light field which is presented during inflation universally will be amplified as far as this field is minimally coupled to gravity and light. Light means its mass will be less than Hubble parameter during inflation. And what we do, we just quantize this arbitrary light scalar field. By the way, quite interesting fact, and not appreciated before. The inflation may be quite high energy inflation. Hubble parameter for chaotic inflation tends to 13 g, or lower energy inflation 10 to the 10 to the 7 GeV, but masses of particles, which we know, or theoretically, are pretty low. Therefore, if they are scalar particles, X particles, for instance, they will be light. Remaining question was about conformal properties. Cliff is here, right? Conformal properties. Scalar fields can be conformal. If they are conformal, the effective mass during inflation is significant. The statement. In n is equal to 1 supergravity, all scalars are minimally coupled to gravity. So, we discussed this issue because in the context of radioactive correspondence holography, right? Yeah. For instance, brain to brain model, the distance between brain to the scalar. And the properties were studied with help of radioactive. And the word conformal was there. One has to be very careful about that. Bottom line is, as far as we're working with n is equal to 1 effect of supergravity, all scalars are minimal coupled to gravity. It's very interesting news because it means that they are good candidates for all of those fields, the plethora of the fields which will be excited during inflation. Nice.
What you said is that there is a sense in which the resistance frame is coupled with some formal, and he had a variety of arguments as to why that was true. So it sounds like they have a vague in mind, a very specific statement about that.
Of course, I'm talking about the Einstein frame when the coupling is controllable, not affected by
right.
things. Which is very convenient for quantum physics.
So what we have at the end, right, so and each mode of quantum fluctuations will be
freeze out and the controllable amplitude of this mode, and you have almost of the spectrum. Superposition of them form random Gaussian field, and the size of the horizon at the end of inflation depends on the model. It may be between the dime size or 10 to 5 kilometers. Anyway, this is large scale homogeneity of this scalar field. And what happens with the wavelengths, everyone knows again, this is Hubble radius during inflation, and because of the expansion of all wavelengths, they were sent out of the horizon, and this is basically why this is so huge, this thing, because of this stretching, will be stretched to astronomical scale. Now, the standard lore is a textbook example, is we have inflaton minimalistic approach, it has fluctuations. It coupled to the metric fluctuations in the form written there. And we manipulate with the variables to get single equation. We solve it. And for the different potentials, we get different amplitudes. The scalar spectrum is given by this convenient form. It's not exact, but it's a good approximation for the observable range. And this spectral index will be depending on the potentials. If I take potential in this form, f of n, some polynomial potential, whatever, the index n will be here. This capital N is a number of e-folds. And for instance, details of physics after inflation will be entering here. This is all good because of the data. I didn't have, I didn't check the recent gravity wave experiment. Data, there is new plots for EE modes, even more accurate, more interesting. But bottom line is we measure spectral index very accurately. And everyone knows this plot. So we're measuring models and we're rejecting models. For instance, many models, theoretical inflation, are rejected. So that was about generation of fluctuations. It's a universal mechanism if we take as a light scalar the inflaton field itself. The physics is rich in after inflation itself, there is a transition. In any models of the universe, if we study from the state of out of equilibrium, we need to get all the material filling up the universe, the Big Bang, in fact. And it turns out that because any light fields, as we discussed, can generate with them fluctuations, those light fields can modulate this transition. And if I have inflaton in some light field, which never dominates gravitational, but enters the physics of this transition, then it can further transfer its homogeneities, remember this plot of random Gaussian field, to the density of the plasma, and we'll get different type of fluctuations. There will be, again, at the end of the day, adiabatic almost scale free fluctuations, but by their origin, there will be not inflaton fluctuations. And one of the examples is what I call modulated fluctuation. Suppose we have transition, inflaton is coupling to usual particles to the Higgs field, for instance. Sigma here, and G squared is a coupling. And in string theory, all the couplings are wavelengths of some scalar field. And if those scalar fields, like moduli field, what I'm saying here is an example, modulated fluctuations, if coupling is a function of some field chi, which is a moduli field, which was relatively light during inflation, which is not difficult to achieve, then this field chi will acquire fluctuations at the end, as it was before, this red curve here. And because of that, the coupling is slightly different in different Hubble patches, right? In each Hubble patch, this coupling is slightly different. But this is enough to generate metric fluctuations. And what I'm plotting here is time and the equation of state. And the equation of state during inflation was whatever it needed to be. and very soon it's reaching radiation. But the moment when it's reached radiation is shifted because the coupling is different in different patches of the sky. And as a result, we get generation of adiabatic metric fluctuations. Of course, it's depending what you put exactly, its amplitude and spectrum, but it's not the same game. It's a different type of fluctuations, but they are as good as inflaton fluctuations. And in present day inflationary models based on string theory or low energy limits of string theory for gravity, there are many, many scalars. Therefore, there is a feeling that the models with many scalars, in particular models with alternative mechanism fluctuations, are as good as others. It's one of the models is in this paper with Bernard and Zahn. This is example in hybrid inflation. String theory. And end point of the inflation, its position will be modulated by this field. And in this paper, we wrote a specific example. Yes. It's a different, related to different. I don't think so. I think it's more phenomenological. Fortunately, we are in the era of measurement the details of inflation, not only in terms of the spectral index and scalar and the gravity waves, but also non-Gaussianity. And usually people formalize potential non-Gaussianity as the quadratic non-Gaussianity. In other words, the metric fluctuations today will be a Gaussian as we did it 10 years ago, plus corrections. We learned how to do corrections, and the corrections will be functionally a square of the Gaussian field, and this parameter Fn G non-Gaussianity is a number which characterizes the significance of this effect. And for the single field inflation, the clear formulas which says it's a pretty small effect. F and L are at the level of 10 to the minus 2. However, if you're going to the class of models I described before, modulated fluctuations, or in Europe, Couraton fluctuations, are the nature is the same. In other words, there are extra fields besides inflaton, which has inhomogeneous large-scale fluctuations, which will be by one another mechanism transferred into metric fluctuations. Modulated fluctuations can be significant, one or bigger. And in Perimeter Institute, you hear a lot about non-canonical models and string theory motivated models. And my friend Misao Sasaki is saying, you can get any F on that. There are so many models, you can get any F on that. It's interesting. It would be disaster if we measure this. And this is, I prepared a few months ago, from CMB data. At the moment, we don't measure the effect yet, and FNL is constrained, the best constraint, this one. And we're all looking at the sky when one satellite will reach orbit and will measure FNL at the level of U. CMB poll will measure in a lower level. There is industry to measure FNL from large-scale structures in statistical methods. And people are talking about the level comparable with the best CMB experiment. And other experiments can reach the values of FNL in a smaller value. In other words, in several years, if there are non-inflaton fluctuations, they can be checkable. So in other words, it's a very interesting test, and everyone is working on it. After hospital, I don't remember many things. It's a combination of the things, right? Combination. It's a complex experiment. I have my notes up there. Right. Now, I will talk about a particular model and particular type of non-Gaussianity. So this talk will be about a version of the modulated fluctuation, which gives us very different type of non-Gaussianity. And it's very fun. This is what I'm talking about. So this is Drosophila flight of inflationary cosmology lambda phi to 4 model because of one parameter. And we add the simple interaction in this model, and the inflaton field will be decaying into other fields, this field chi in this case, which is a simple coupling. And it happens that if the coupling G square over lambda is order of one, in particularly two, then there is a fluctuation in the model. Not only fluctuations from inflaton sector, but also fluctuations from the chi field sector. Because in this case, when G square over lambda is order of one, two in particular, the chi field will be also amplified, unstable during inflation, will be its fluctuations. And we would think in the past it's a very small effect, and it's unexpectedly very non-trivial effect. And first people who draw attention to this possibility that there is a contribution of the chi fluctuations into the dynamics where Alex Chambers and Art Rajanti, I will talk to you a little bit here, but it's very challenging technical problem. So they notice the effect, but numerical calculations they were relying on very challenging. So this is why it was continued. This is what I'm going to talk about this morning. One of the reasons I decided to select this topic for presentation is the paper we wrote with Bond and Frolov was accepted in PRL. People got interested, but no one understood it. It's very dense 4 pages paper, and unfortunately, learning that it's too densely written. So I decided to take the opportunity to explain it in detail. I will remind what happens in the model with lambda phi to the 4 potential in the quartic interaction. As I said, it's very, very, very simple model. Really Drosophila flight, not only study inflation itself, but also study what happens after inflation. And it's mathematically very rich and goes in different direction in mathematicians like this. You will see why. After inflation, inflaton field phi is oscillating with time. And what we can write down is the usual Einstein equations for gravity and background field phi. And it's a complicated equation, as you can see. But if you go to a conformal time and rescaled variables, this system will be reduced to a simple oscillation with nonlinear potential with no gravity. So in other words, background evolution can be completely mapped into the evolution of this scalar field in Minkowski spacetime. And physically, this is because lambda phi to the 4 theory is a conformal theory. Remember, I was telling you that there is no conformal field in this model. However, amazing thing is that those fluctuations, background fluctuations, have equation of state corresponding to radiation. And for radiation, the curvature, scalar curvature is equal to zero. And therefore, it doesn't matter if it's conformal or not. It behaves as a purely conformal field. This is the reason why the theory, background evolution, cosmological solution, can be mapped into Minkowski problem, instead space time problem, with a conformal time. Cosmology will be in the transition between physical time and conformal time. So the solution of this equation is given by elliptical functions. And it's a very good approximation. So the term which is missing here is this term. This is what you say. And I'm not throwing it away. What happens in this term is a curvature term. And for, as I said, a self-consistent problem, the curvature is, in average, zero, if I average over several oscillations. So therefore, this problem, this approximation is exact in terms of the averaging over several oscillations. Ah? And there is no quantum problem. And formal anomaly will be very, very small. We know all the terms. Now a quantum problem, right? And the set of equations and regularization from anomaly, they not much relevant here because the effects of particle creation will be so significant. Now we, on the top of this oscillating background, consider quantum fluctuations of field phi. If field phi is a background condensate which is oscillating. And now we consider how it interacts to the quantum field chi. We do usual thing, quantize it. And we have the equation for the mod, most important part. And this equation for the mod includes this important term, interacting term. And remember, this interacting term was given in terms of the elliptic function. And it turns out that, again, we can do rescaling, and the problem is reduced to the mod equation in the red box, which has no traces of expansion. So the problem is entirely mapped to the Minkowski space-time. Another thing which happens, I rescale time. The time I rescaled in such a way that includes lambda. And in this rescale time, the only parameter is g square over lambda, a single dimensionless parameter. And it's again quite interesting, and all the effects will be given by solution of this equation. So it's an equation with a periodic coefficients, elliptical cos function is very close to real cos function. You can decompose it to the cosine of different periods, and its departure for this particular parameter only by 5% from cos for usual cos. But it happens that this 5% is enormously important for this type of problem. So we have to solve this mod equation. There are generic theorems called Fakes theorem if you're dealing with the oscillator-like equation with a periodic frequency, then they are unstable solutions, right? And in this case, this particular equation is known as a Lamé equation. And in different problems, the exact value of g square of lambda will be different. And many, many problems will be reduced to this equation. For instance, if we're dealing with an n-component scalar field with a certain combination of g square of lambda, what you were doing is the matrix scalar field, which is used to a certain collection of g square of lambda. So in other words, it's an archetype of many, many interesting models people were considering in non-equilibrium field theory, et cetera, et cetera. Right, so I'm taking vacuum-like initial condition. So, and for field chi, they are quantum fluctuations. They are, you basically guessed already what I'm going to talk about. It should be scientifically answered. In other words, I'm looking for initial conditions. At the moment, let me take initial conditions at the end of inflation as a vacuum-like initial condition. What I have to do, I have to take the vacuum-like long before inflation or during inflation. And that was, it's there. Vacuum-like initial condition. The same way as I justify track of like initial conditions for important. I don't know, we're getting to it. No. I have a background field, which is not that, plus fluctuation from the top of that. The chi field, right. The chi field, if it is, because chi field is coupling to g squared phi squared, it has a mass. And its effective potential wants to bring it down to the minimum. Not exactly. It will depend on the exact coupling. And if I displace chi significantly, I will have two field models. And it has its own right. And I have to consider phi and chi and the all trajectories. So here, I'm saying in last 50 folding, all my trajectories went to the trough, which corresponds to no absence of the chi from detail. Let me consider this one. So anyway, the solution of this equation is instability, and this is periodic function, and this is so-called characteristic exponent. Those modes will be unstable, and this is stability instability charge. This is momentum, k squared from 0 to whatever I want. And g squared over lambda, this parameter is given here. And shadow regions corresponds to unstable modes. So in other words, if I take particular theory, I fix g squared over lambda, I'm sitting here, here, or here, and I have instabilities. For instance, if I take g squared over lambda is equal to 1, I have one instability band. And this band, second band, and all other bands miraculously shrink to 0 for this particular value. And it turns out there is a big physical reason for this, because it's lambda phi to the 4 plus g squared phi squared. For g squared phi squared chi squared model, for this particular choice of g squared over lambda, has integrability property, and there are extra symmetries of the Hamiltonian, and it works in such a way that only one band of instability takes place. And if I have g squared over lambda equal to n plus 1 over 2, n is integer number, the number of instability bands also will be finite equal to n. So there are beautiful mathematical properties of the equation. But what we picking up from here, it's unstable. G squared over lambda is given by our choice, our theory. And depending which parameter we take, instability, the value of this parameter mu, plotted here. So mu can be sitting here, or here, or here, depending on the choice of g squared over lambda. So let me take g squared over lambda is equal to 2 over here. So this corresponds to this choice. And let me finish this sentence. This choice will correspond to significant instability of k is equal to 0 long wavelength. And I like this particular case because g squared over lambda corresponds to the supersymmetric case. Originally, it was chosen because this is what very effective. Then it was realized. So this is my solution. This is the most important function is a characteristic exponent. So this is how characteristic exponent behaves as a function of momentum for different choices of g squared over lambda. For each choice, this for lambda, you take either this plot or that plot or this second plot. The y axis is new. This is new. This is dimensionless. It's a dimensionless. Well, it was lost in many copying. So. This should be treated as a conformal time, dimensional conformal. This is dimensionless. So this is equation in conformal time, dimensionless conformal time. Mu is dimensionless. When you go back, it basically tells you how unstable in terms of number of oscillations. And bottom line is, in a dozen oscillations, the system became absolutely unstable.
That's all.
But Yeah, but that doesn't mean that the couplings are large. I mean, couplings
no,
are small.
No, yeah.
So, yeah, I have a question about this. So, usually they say that narrow resonance is destabilized by the expansion because of the flow of momentum. But
not for this case, because there is no expansion.
Uh-huh, I see.
Beautiful system, there is no expansion.
Okay.
And also, it doesn't require large values of the field phi, because effect does not defend.
Mm-hmm.
So, for S or phi squared, the analogy of this strength of resonance parameter the amplitude of input and field gradient of inflation divided by the Planckian mass. And for effect to be big, it should be chaotic inflation. Here it's not necessarily chaotic. So it does disappear completely. So in other words, you may have inflation some almost flat, but if its n is Lambda phi to the 4, it's all relevant.
But here, for the expansion to be completely irrelevant, your phi field has to be
there,
that's very
important. Nothing. There doesn't depend on amplitude of phi field. Amplitude of phi field will enter redefinition of this dimensionless time. That's it.
Isn't lambda phi the full through layout observation?
Yes, but then largely not. So what he is referring to is index I was showing you double map. Think its index is 0.94 is too low. The tiny effect, not time, the effect which comes from extra modulated field, correct? You cannot kill the Jezebel fly.
For some of the planes.
Before I came, I was saying that I'm not advocating at all about it, but just a model which gives very different type of condition. And that's great fun because everything can be followed analytically.
Before you go on, I'm going to take a question.
Sorry.
So the framework, as I understand it, is you're thinking you get in mind a hybrid picture, right? So that you've got a potential which is designed to have chi equals zero during inflation, and then you roll up, and then phi rolls off to some minimum weight of zero. And the thing you're following, the fact you're trying to follow the part of correction, that's going to happen in the roll-up wave after inflation?
After inflation, it oscillates.
Yeah.
When it oscillates.
So then you're approximating for your calculation the potential of being cubic plus this mixing term, the chi squared. And so is there a sense
of two?
Or quarters, right? Yeah,
in equation of
motion. But to what extent, so that means that you're neglecting as you're interested in the piece where you're rolling off to the side, where the inflaton is not kind of rolling along its direction anymore. So to what extent are the other interactions that you're neglecting when you do your analytic calculation changing this instability pattern?
Not much. So as usual, it's different channels. I'm picking up what I think is most effective channel.
Is there a small quantity that controls that?
Just number of, if, just the rate of decay in a sense. And this will be non-perturbative rate of decay. If I include, for instance, any fermions here, they will be decaying, they need zillions of oscillations to decay completely. Here, it doesn't. For fermions, there is no parametric resonance effect.
I'm thinking that the potential you described would be one I would think would be actually a great description to the trough, right? Because if the mean term of chi is zero, then the shape of the phi dependent part you capture with your potential. So once you go in the roll off to the side, why should you be well captured?
There is no roll off here.
No roll off.
Well, not, that's maybe. The thing, is this is not a hybrid potential, right?
No, it's not hybrid at all. It's a chaotic model, literally. It's a chaotic inflation model.
But then what is it that keeps chi from rolling?
It's minimum. It has, this is global minimum for all fields, for those two fields.
This is supposed to be the end of inflation, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the place where it ends up. Whatever happened before, this is, if it's hybrid inflation, this is the bottom of the line.
This is due to my inflation vector is not high.
No, if it's hybrid, it used to be, even if it used to be hybrid.
Well, there was a disconnect, I guess, from the
hybrid. No, this is, the problem is there's a picture of a hybrid inflation earlier.
Yeah, that can be nice. Sorry, that was just one slide. No,
so the inflationary part of this would be that you just start off in some place high in the potential, and when five to the fourth were large, and you're living off a large base of five.
So we're moving in this direction. But the answer to your question, if you think about hybrid, R chi to the fourth, and it will be stable.
Is it important that the chi field didn't do anything? I mean, is there a neglect of interactions there that's going to affect the stability story?
Everything will be included as far as I take the minimalistic potential.
this gravity. I put my initial conditions to see this trough, and I turned on all possible effects of instability.
But it's crucial that I have some noise.
Not significant. Not significant.
Just a comment, because you said about it. It would be natural in quantum theory to get chi to the force, right? There's nothing to
In numerical simulations, which I will demonstrate in the so what was that? Sure. Right. Right. But for transparency, this is what I'm going to talk about. Nothing else, no other interactions. Just this simple model.
And since you've been deflected, to what extent does adding more scalars change the loop of the stability or?
Again, you have to process linearized analysis, right? As any linearized analysis, you do it separately for each channel. And you see which one is more effective.
Do you think it will just mean that the other channels that could be unstable, but it won't change?
That's correct. It all depends on the new parameter for other channels. And because it's interacting in this format, it makes them very different. Anyway, a mathematical remark was interesting. I was telling you about instability of linearized fluctuations. And the all quantum effects like conformal anomalies can be added, but they will be small fluctuations relatively to this huge burst of particles, cracks. Mathematical remark, interesting mathematical remark. This is the potential, potential length. And
this is chi field, this is phi field, and this is my potential. An oscillation of phi field corresponds to bouncing in that direction. This is background oscillation. If I add tiny inhomogeneities, sorry, if I add inhomogeneities in phi field, let me consider long wavelengths, k is equal zero inhomogeneities. K is equal zero inhomogeneities means I have a slight value of the chi field. In this potential. It will displace this bouncing, it will be moving like that. And one can wonder how this picture of oscillating of phi condensate and slight value of the chi condensate, which corresponds to chi is equal zero, fits or how it corresponds to the physics of parametric resonance. So chi is equal zero is a mode, which I consider, right? And I know that the choice of G square over lambda, when chi is equal zero mode is highly unstable, but there are choices like this one when it's stable, right? So for this choice of G square over lambda, it's unstable, for this is stable. And then I consider very different problem of billiard in this potential. And it turns out that they are complementary, give the same answer. It's very unexpected. I talked to a mathematician about it. They were not aware of this. So here, I'm dealing with a billiard picture with a Lyapunov exponent. And can you guess from here, if I change parameter g square over lambda from value 2 to value 3, in one case, g square over lambda, you will have Lyapunov instability. In another case, you will have no Lyapunov. So in other words, the billiard very sensitive to the exact shape. That's very unexpected. This is a numerical result. This is bouncing of trajectory over here. What is shown here is bouncing like that. And it's an exponential growth. I start initially here. This part, the contour of the potential will be over here. It's just moving exponentially quickly. And it turns, and this is what happens with the potential. If I have g square over lambda is equal to 3. So my potential in this case goes like the contour of the potential like that. It's bouncing, but there is no instability, just periodic, right? This is chi field, this is phi field. For k is equal to 0 mode. I'm now saying that k is equal to 0 mode is a very interesting interpretation of, in terms of Lyapunov exponents. And from the billiard picture, this instability is described by Lyapunov exponent which happens to be exactly what you expect to get from the theory of parametric resonance. And, so it's just very neat property. Right. Okay, it's all good to talk about linear analysis, what happens when we take back reactions of fluctuations. And to answer this question, there is a tradition of doing what's called lattice simulations. And I will show you the movie. It shows this is time, total density is homogeneous, it's non-zero. The box is the size of the universe filled up with the oscillating inflaton interacting with chiral. This is what happens to this. It's fragmented because of this huge instability. It's energy fragmented, right? Random Gaussian field of fluctuations growing exponentially and energy very quickly fragmented. It's a mess. I can do the same movie for each component. And this size of the box is smaller than the size of the horizon. It goes like independent. It's a piece of the universe. But there is a microstructure, very significant microstructure there. It's a three-dimensional box of simulation, just density, total density, total density. Yeah, total energy density, total energy density, right. This is just to illustrate how messy the problem is. And we know that the back reaction very significant, and we're thinking, but this is time and total number. What happens after inflation from the fluctuations? The sky field is exponentially unstable. Back reaction will generate inhomogeneities of the inflaton field. They're all going into the equilibrium, and it's equilibrium of the scalar field, the turbulence regime before thermalization will reach further. Wow, so complicated. Right? My message here is very, very complicated. Time frame is a number of oscillations. Units of time is a number. You see? Sure.
I can talk about a lot of it.
So what is the correlation length of the structure that they're produced?
It's defined by most of which band of instability has most F energy, right? It's analytically equilateral for given G square of M. Now, so what I'm going to talk about next is, okay, fine, we have this transition, inflaton is fragmented into fluctuations of size. They are not anymore fluctuations because they take the equal share of energy. And the occupation numbers are so big, we are in the classical territory, and we dealing with the equation for one field and coupling to another, plus gravity. And if we're dealing with the gravity, we can calculate, solving this equation, the rate of expansion. Okay?
But what is the lambda term missing in the first equation?
So we're solving this equation, and what Neil was referring to, what is the choice of initial condition for chi field during inflation? And if g square over lambda is very big, then g square phi square is a significant mass term for chi field, and fluctuations of the chi field will not be generated. And that's what I was talking about is a pristine, clean. I can start from vacuum fluctuations just at the end of inflation and predict them. However, if g square over lambda is comparable with close to unity, this is the answer. This is a spectrum of fluctuations in units of the Hubble, in other words, in the units of usual inflaton fluctuations, right? Depending on the value of g square over lambda. If g square over lambda is 3, you see, we can neglect it. It's so subdominant relative to the fluctuations of inflaton. The field is so massive, right? But if it's 2, it's not small at all. And what we have to do now is to take as initial conditions for the system I was describing here, the presence of relatively tiny, at the level 10 to the minus 7 of the Hubble parameter, right? the level of, if right, so the level of 10^-7 tiny initial fluctuations for the chi field. And what I'm doing, I take a box of simulation. Its size is comparable or smaller than the size of the Hubble patch. And when I'm talking about long wave of fluctuations of chi within this box, it behaves like a constant component, right? Therefore, I have to repeat now my lattice simulations with initial conditions for chi not equal to zero, not equal to vacuum fluctuations, but already tiny component which is constant in this box. Okay, so this will be impact of a moduli fluctuation to the dynamics in the box, and because gravity is involved, so all of those terms will be involved. Solution for scalar factor will be slightly different. And remember what chi looks like. The chi is a random Gaussian field, and in different Hubble patches will be slightly different values. The chi field from inflation generated from rotation. This is size of the box. In different boxes, my value of chi, initial value, will be slightly different, a tiny, tiny value. And we have to solve this equation is very, very, very high accuracy. And the scalar factor will be sensitive to this value of chi. And the rate of expansion during this transitional period will be slightly different in different Hubble patches. And if scalar factor is slightly different, what we call number of E faults is slightly different, then the metric fluctuations will be generated. In other words, there is a formalism which is called separate universe approximation. If I take different Hubble patches and physics slightly different, and physics is controlled by modulus chi, I can calculate curvature fluctuations, the Bardeen's parameter zeta, as the variation of the logarithm of the scalar factor. So in other words, I'm solving this system of equation, and the initial conditions, slightly different in different patches, response will be in terms of slightly different rate of expansion, and I can calculate the variation of number of E faults, and this is nothing but the metric fluctuation. And we would expect it's very small effect. It is 20 Hubble. This is a response function, absolutely crazy. It turns out that the solution of this equation, the number of E faults in units 10^-5, it's a comparable to what we need, as a function of chi field, is absolutely crazy, very spiky. And who knows? How real are those spikes? Maybe they're numerical errors. And when Chaplin and Rajanti, they plot, they get very different. They're right, we're wrong, and vice versa. But two things happen. In 10 minutes, I have to report in 5 minutes and 5 minutes. The first, the code was modified to reach accuracy 10^-13. So this is what we're doing. We are monitoring energy, because energy is entering Einstein equation. And energy should be stability of energy monitored at the level verified, better than the effect. And the code is now at the level 10^-13. Chaplin and Rajanti code was at the level 10^-3, 10^-4. A previous lattice codes for preheating were at the level 10^-4, 10^-5. So it was a hard work to reach this accuracy 10^-15. There are details for those who like Scott, probably no one likes Scott. The check is, so the effect I'm talking about is for G square of lambda is equal 2. For G square of lambda is equal 3, the there is no parametric resonance. There shouldn't be any effect. And this is response delta n over n. It's comparable with zero, no spikes. So it's pretty, this is all for the this code with this accuracy gives almost straight line. So in other words, spikes are for the situation when they may be, and they're not supposed to be, there is no little spike. You can check it on this one. Now, we are serious. Besides spots, can we explain what is going on? And I'll give you a hint how this effect of spikes can be explained dynamically. For this, we have to go to potential to discuss. And the initial conditions here tells us the contour of this potential. Inflationary trajectory is this one, but the presence of a long wavelength fluctuation of chi is just slight displacement of this trajectory, like this tiny displacement. And therefore, our trajectory is starting slightly shifted from the horizontal line, okay? And what we are considering, how these trajectories are behaving within this potential. It has some, there's some similarity with the billiard, but it's more complicated system. And this type of potential and the chaotic billiard in this potential was studied in many models, and in particular in some papers on string theory. People consider it, some model dynamics often is reduced to this type of potential. And there are funny properties. For instance, we know that the trajectory is only for homogeneous trajectories, right? They can go into the arms and return to the arms because effective potential inside the arms goes like that, and we are reflecting from it. It's quite complicated, and it has some features of intermittency and chaos, et cetera, et cetera. Our system is enormously complicated. Initially, there is homogeneous mode in given bubble patch. But then inhomogeneous modes are developed. What I will claim that the main effect can be catched by considering only homogeneous modes. And main effect will be imprinted in the equation of state just before inhomogeneous mode takes over. And therefore, very complicated dynamics can be investigated, what I'm showing here. Turns out, two types of trajectories. Depending on the initial conditions, there are trajectories which are not entering into the arms soon enough, and trajectories which are entering in the arms soon enough. Okay?
So the interesting effect is when the k equals zero modes go through a chaotic path first.
The interesting effect is when a particular value of this small takes place for different values of this.
For homogeneous, the k equals zero.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. They're only for homogeneous because I cannot apply this simple picture for homogeneous ones. But it turns out it's enough. And what happens? This potential is relevant only until back reaction of fluctuations takes place. When back reaction of fluctuations takes place, the mass term is generated. And the effect of mass term, like delta pi square,
pi square, this is effective mass square for the phi field and similar fluctuation of the phi. And as a result, this is how quickly this mass term, this mass field, this time is absent, and when the parametric resonance is significant, it's skyrocketing. And as a result, the shape of this effective potential is changing. And it used to be open arm, but when effective mass is generating, it's closing. Okay? And the false story is the trajectories in one, for particular values of chi, finding themselves going into the arm when they're closing and getting hit. And there are trajectories for other values of chi which are not going to the arm and have no effect. And in one case, you have spikes, and in other cases, you have no spikes. And you can follow what exactly happens through the evolution of the equation state. Instead of doing, showing, saying things, I'll show you the movie, what exactly happens with the trajectories.
depending on the initial conditions. This is the ball, this is simulations, and you will see all points of this simulation. Initially, there is only homogeneous modes, and all points are behaving similarly. It's bouncing, bouncing for a long time. Now they will be entering the arms. One, the critics can say, why are they going above this line? Not supposed to. Neil, this is the effect you were talking about, A prime prime over A, the field and the land of the function. Numerically, it's all taken into account. No, different oscillators, four different points. Slightly different on the right side. That was no spikes case. And this is the case which corresponds to initial conditions. These are spikes. It's all about how they get into the arcs. The difference is arc, you know, the way around. Those which are entering arms, those trajectories, those which corresponding to those levels of psi, will give you spike. Because the evolution of the equation of state will be slightly different. They are entering, so they are sitting in the arm much longer than the previous one. That's why I stopped. Okay. This is a snapshot. No entering arms, entering arms. And you can follow W pattern. This is answer. So this is the spikes are corresponding to the values of initial values of chi, which sitting there. And okay, good. Maybe spikes. Is there any pattern? Yeah, there is a pattern. So initial conditions have a symmetry. If I displace chi by the period, the history should be repeated. And therefore, there should be a pattern of those spikes controllable by exponent, which corresponds to the value of the characteristic exponent for the Lemay equation. In other words, the initial conditions which corresponds to chi, certain chi, shifted by a period of parametric resonance, give the same physics. And this is a pattern of the spikes. Good. What to do with this? We have interesting mathematical problem. We have a random Gaussian field of chi over here. And we map it in the metric fluctuations by this nonlinear function. And what kind of pattern will happen to the sky? Now, forget the particular model I was talking about. Just for those who like statistics. Suppose that there is some mechanism of generation of fluctuations. It's a random Gaussian field of chi. But you map it into the metric fluctuations for a nonlinear function. Not chi square, but some nonlinear function. So what kind of pattern will happen to the sky? So usually we're dealing with simple parameterization. Our function f and l is absolutely crazy to do this because time is running away. Skip everything. This is what you will get. This is the contrast of the temperature composition. This. So there are different excursion sets. It's a different level of final answer. It's a Gaussian which comes from inflaton sector plus highly non-Gaussian, which come from this chi sector. And it will be mostly Gaussian plus rare events. The rare events, which are very different from non-Gaussian. And those rare events will give us always, in this case, cold spots. Because the function is positive. The response of this function to Gaussian field is always positive. And if you recall the formula for temperature, delta over T is minus one third of the gravitational potential, it gives you always cold spot in the back. And of course, we all want to compare it with the cold spot in the sky. Texture is one possibility. And it's a real effect which is observed at the level of 4 sigma, 3 sigma, 3 sigma. Anyway, it's fun. Okay, it's fun. Miss Planck, we will see more interesting. Anyway, was a challenge to deal with its statistics, and the new ansatz was invented. It's very difficult to, one can think, if I have this nonlinear function of non-Gaussian field, just do simulations with it. It's impossible to do because we are dealing here with e to the 50 equals. It's not of too many harmonics. It's impossible to model it. And we suggest some ansatz, analytical ansatz, how to deal with this and the result of this picture. Let me finish this part.
I'm with you, right? Because it's not even clear to me the spectrum of your noise will be scalar.
No,
it's white noise.
So it's quite interesting. The answer is you're always getting filtered. And after the filtering, your effective mapping will remind this plot. And it will have amplitude and slope.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying, this piece added to Lambda Phi to the force you slightly correct.
Why is it scaling there?
Hmm?
Why is it scaling there?
It's almost scaling there. It's not exactly. You can see it's not exactly scaling there. There is an impact.
What happens at high?
No. So we have to be careful here. In our.
This is not K.
So this is chi field. If I take many effort, our observable interval, Cherny fold, will correspond to the widths, this type of widths. Where exactly we are sitting will depend on realization. So my chi field may have inside the horizon this departure from zero, or that departure from zero. And I'm working this very relatively short interval of this type field. This, the variance is not controllable by us, it's just the chance where we're sitting exactly. And this is just panoramic view, what happens if you scan throughout all the others. But in our tenifolding, we'll deal with relatively narrow part of it. And which part of contribution we're picking up. It's a variance, the positive variance situation. But I'm saying you can pick up the piece.
So you're telling me you can't predict the amplitude of the spots? It's just random.
That's right, it's random. It's quite an interesting situation where the physics outside of the horizon is entering the answer. It's quite an interesting situation.
You're just losing predictivity.
It's losing predictivity. Well,
it's interesting is one word to apply.
I'm losing productivity with my kids.
True.
What is the angular scale of the effect? Of the
I don't know.
We start it. It's not
really static. It's a completely new open field. It's a non-trivial Gaussian magic. Just illustrative example for the moment.
Why don't you get lots of black holes?
Good question. I have no idea. Because absolutely, question how what is about black hole structure? I don't know. Doubtfully about black holes because amplitude is going high. Maximum we observe 10 sleep in this unit, so it will be 10 to minus 2. It's still not enough, and there is a physical reason for that. So in other words, the depth of the potential will not be unit. But in for logical structure, for other things, I have no idea. It's a very fine structure effect, and we didn't deal with this type of thing.
So, did I understand correctly that because delta n is positive, you have under density?
That's right.
That works against black hole projection also, right?
False plot. No. No, the potential is positive. That's right. You're right. Good. Yes, correct. Yeah, it's a positive potential.
So I don't say it was over density, not under. Yes. No.
Yes, it's a positive potential. So it's under density. It's under density. Locally, it's under density.
Okay.
So
that's
like
cold spots are deeper.
Cold spots corresponds to over under density.
Under density.
Under density.
A technical question. You said that the elliptic cosine function is very well approximated by just ordinary cosine function. What would be wrong if I just surveyed it by cosine?
Everything would be wrong. It's amazing. Parametric resonance. If you approximate everything, it's a cumulative effect of interference. So if you take instead of this function, your stability charge will be very different.
Yes.
Many effects disappear. The notorious example is a Klein-Gordon equation, axion. Often people consider it parametric resonance for axion field. They mimic it.
Damn words.
Okay, well, we can talk to a lot more over lunch and the rest of the day. We have two more talks today at 2 o'clock, and at 3 o'clock with the Leadership Shorty. So now that you've all seen each other in the room, all of you should feel bad for not going to their talk.